Thanks everyone for singing and covering over my voice, making up for where I lack, and being a blessing in that way. Lifting our voices to God, calling upon the name of the Lord. I love that song, Setting Our Hearts for Worship. Thanks for praying, Alejandro, talking about having the learning heart, discerning mind. I pray we can always have that as we dive into God's Word. I'm going to share a few verses today about Jesus. Have to review a little bit. Also recording this for, you know, the other half of the church that's out today and traveling and out and about and such. But a little bit of review. We did hit this verse for men's midweek this past Wednesday. A few of us got to gather up on Skinner's Butte and be a little bit missional, live some of the rhythms we talked about last Sunday. And we just prayed over the city from up there. But we shared this verse, John 6:63, right? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Man, so if you don't know me, I'm Joey Hungerford. Moved here a few weeks ago. Get to preach to you all. Thank you for that honor. But according to this, this is who we really want to get to know. Even more than me is Jesus, and you get to know him through his word. That's why we're talking about it today. That this book is life. That as he says here, full of Spirit and life. If you want to have life to the full, you got to be in this book. So men's midweek, we're trying to become men who courageously love and protect God's word so we can have that life to the full, so we can be the servants, the leaders, the husbands, the fathers who God calls us to be, right? And it takes us a little bit of trust to think God's way is better. He's not trying to destroy my life. He wants me to have that life to the full. So again, what's really important is we never replace another Christian or a discipleship partner or a preacher. Never have them come between us and Jesus. We want to have an unmediated relationship with him. Even if you hear all the voices out there, you want to be responding to the shepherd's voice. Amen, guys?
Yes.
Don't replace a fresh daily encounter with Jesus. An unmediated relationship with your Lord. So when we lose that immediacy, we start to experience what we've been talking about the past couple of Sundays, where you could end up with a mission or even a church that doesn't really represent the founder, Jesus himself. And you end up in a verse like what we see in Revelation, where Jesus is knocking on the door outside the church saying, hey, let me back in. So this is continuing that series of recalibrating to Jesus. Translating him into our day-to-day lives. We want Jesus' way to be our way. Calibrate ourselves based on the mission that is determined by Jesus and not the church. So to quickly review, we've been talking about the church should always be recalibrated by the mission. That should always be recalibrated by Jesus. Rather than looking around at our church and saying, well, let's squeeze the mission into what we're already doing, and then maybe squeeze Jesus into that. Then you end up with things that don't really represent him. Here's the good news. Sometimes we can think, oh goodness, if I'm going to follow Jesus and do his mission, that's a lot of responsibility. That has some eternal consequences, sharing that news with people, right? We can get in our heads about that and then perhaps out of our hearts. And it's good to remind ourselves, if we're going to read Jesus, to rethink and restore back to him, that God has already been doing mission long before you showed up on the scene, long before you entered that relationship or that space or went to those people. Yeah, he can use you, but join God where he is already doing mission. See where he's already doing that. He's already been doing it. It's helpful to remember that the church doesn't have a mission. Rather, the mission of God has a church. And we got to make sure our church is hitting that. So we want to be God-centered and not just church-centered. We don't want the mission to merely be an activity or a program of the church. We want it to be the result of God's initiative and us responding to him, rooted in God's purpose. Everyone with me so far? All right, I know, all right. I'm just ending out the review section, just catching up. This is what we've been hearing the past few Sundays, right? It bears repeating, right? So today we are talking about mission, but we don't want to start with the question about the relationship to our existing church, because then we've already made a mistake. We want to talk about mission in relationship to Jesus. Start with the church and the mission might get lost, but start with mission and it's likely that the true church will be found. Amen. That's the order we want to follow. And when we look at the Gospels, we're going to talk about Jesus a lot today. Jesus never planted a church or sent out mission teams or asked us to plant churches. He said, hey, make disciples. And when you are healthy disciples, then those disciples make up the church.
Yeah.
And they naturally plant the churches from healthy disciples. So sometimes we go about that the wrong way. And we come up with evangelism programs. You might even be emotionally allergic to that word. You might have a fearful reaction of it, right? If you've ever been burnt out as a Christian on things like that. Raise your hand if you have been. Just take a survey of the room. All right. This group over here, they're afraid of evangelism.
No.
Just trigger words. All right. Just the trigger words. We can be emotionally allergic to it. Because sometimes we can get burnt out on an unrealistic expectation of it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, there's this gifted evangelist speaking up here. Not me, but imagine some other guy. And man, he's talking about going out there and serving people and just left and right, talking to every rock and tree about Jesus. And I don't really think I can do that. And so then we don't do that. Mm-hmm. Truth is, Jesus did something that's a lot more integrated into everyday life. A lot more doable, because he has every single one of you in mind to join him in his mission. So, a little bit about me and where I've gotten burnt out. When we start to define the mission of Jesus, he gives his mission in Matthew 28. I'm not going to turn there, because half of you probably know it. To go to all the nations and disciple them to Jesus Christ. So sometimes we can take out the Jesus part and we can just go and make a disciple, right? When that happens, then this can kind of become an order, just a command. We call it the Great Commission, right? It can become impersonal. We could do it out of blind obedience. It could be an obligation rather than an act of love and grace. My heart can quickly make it an obligation rather than something done out of love and grace. I've done mission out of fear, or I've done mission because I made the mission my functional Lord, because it's a lot easier to just do things rather than respond to Jesus in doing them.
Yeah.
To give an illustration, I mean, it completely misses the heart, right? So we just had Mother's Day. That's a pretty heartsy day, right? Mm-hmm. Who tried to encourage your mom and meet her where she's at, right? Because your mother has poured into you and loved you, and you want to respond to that and honor her at least on Mother's Day, right? We want to hit that target. You're probably also familiar with the illustration of a woman who's disappointed or complains because her husband never brings her flowers, right? Okay, all right, good. You're not familiar with that. You guys are so great. You're not like me. For me, actually, it's not so much flowers. It's, hey, could you actually wipe the counter down? You know, and acts of love like that that matter a lot more to Madison. And where, and then here's the thing. I go, yeah, and I wipe it down real quick. And I'm like, there, problem solved. You just had to ask, what's the big deal? Not really the heart she was after, right? When the guilty husband rushes and buys the bouquet, presents it to her, the wife can still be dissatisfied because she wasn't just after flowers in particular, right? What she wanted was for him to be motivated by his devotion to her to buy a gift for her, to not have to be told. I jumped to that. Just tell me what to do. All right. These flowers, great. For our mission, for the Great Commission. Can't be done because you feel guilty. Can't be done because you're just trying to please Jesus or his order in the Great Commission, just to satisfy him. In fact, you're not going to satisfy him if you're doing it out of guilt. And you're not going to satisfy your own sense of calling. It's got to emerge from a rich and deep relationship with Jesus, devotion to him. He wants us in our devotion like a wife might want flowers given out of devotion. So when he does give that order, he's actually talking about disciples who are already devoted to him that are naturally and normally going to be about this business of making disciples, who make disciples, not to satisfy Jesus' demands, but out of a complete devotion to him. And one reason why Jesus made disciple-making the core mission of the church is because when we engage in that, disciple ourselves to him, disciple other people to him, we become more like him, and we get more in tune with that love. That's the focus we want to keep, guys. So today I want to give you one big theological word for calibrating our mission to Jesus, and we're going to look at two verses for that, and the big word is incarnation. You may have heard that before. Not the carnation flower, the incarnation. Jesus incarnating himself to us. If Jesus' way is going to be our way, we want to look at the way that Jesus came to us. And here's the key thing. A lot of us have read the book, The Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert Coleman. It describes discipleship, disciple making. And he actually updated it, maybe 10 years ago. And he said, you know what? There is a missing ingredient. It's been out for 30 or 40 years. There's a missing ingredient, and he included a missing chapter right up front. And the book goes through all these rhythms of Jesus. All these rhythms of Jesus. I'm trying to recall a few of them right now. Delegation, that's one of them. It's a lot of shun words, but you can tell I need to read it again. The missing ingredient one, the first chapter he included was incarnation. So this is what's been missing from it. So for a lot of us, if you've read that book, if that's a part of your DNA or background, here's the missing ingredient to your DNA and background when it comes to the mission. And he said it's incarnation, that Jesus incarnated himself. He entered people's world. That Jesus is the shepherd goes after lost sheep. Jesus took on the servant's mantle, washed people's feet. So Robert Coleman pointed out that serving people brings opportunities to disciple them, to find a person's felt needs and meet them and bless them. That would be in tune with Jesus' way of doing mission. It's something we can so easily get out of tune with. So let's talk more about this word incarnation. Look for where we see it in the Bible. We can talk about it a lot before we actually open up our Bible, but it comes into play in John chapter 1. The root meaning of incarnation means any person or thing serving as the type of embodiment of a quality or concept. Specifically, it means to embody in the flesh. So, Jesus embodied in the flesh God himself. He became man. If we're going to be incarnational, we also want to represent and embody Christ, right? It's a big part of his mission. He's got his plan to have this conspiracy of little Jesuses running around, representing him, showing people what Jesus is like. So sometimes if our only, and this isn't bad, but if our only missional operating system is invite people to come to church on a Sunday, that's called attractional rather than incarnational, and we can compare the two. If it's only attractional and come to church on a Sunday, that's not exactly what Jesus did in coming to us first and incarnating and entering people's world. Attractional can focus on creating a place where people can go and hear the gospel, hear a message from a speaker. Not a bad thing, right? Not a bad thing to invite anyone to. But incarnational is an approach that tries to create a people who can go and be so the people can see and feel aspects of the gospel lived out. See you representing Christ where they're at. Think about it this way. If you're asking people to come here on a Sunday morning, who are you making the missionary? What I mean by that is it can be rather uncomfortable for some people to come and sing songs right there. That's a little uncomfortable. To take communion that we call the body and the blood of Christ, that can be a little uncomfortable. Maybe if we use some Christian language like incarnation, maybe that can be a little uncomfortable. And they go, what on earth are they talking about around here? Encouraging each other. So they have to learn a new culture, a new language, a new way of snapping and clapping and doing things. It's kind of like to come to Jesus, you got to be a missionary right there. That's why we also have to be incarnational in our mission and go to them. Again, attractional isn't a bad thing, but we want to have attractional lives that are transformed by Jesus and let that be the attractional thing rather than just a Sunday morning experience. Those really are two different operating systems to keep in tension. So we got to reboot to Jesus if we are going to be more incarnational. If we are going to go from come and see to go and be. A lot of us in this room, here's how you reboot to Jesus just a little bit. A lot of us in this room, when we became followers of Jesus, some of us went through a Bible study called New Testament Conversions. Just how did people become disciples of Jesus? And you go through accounts of how people became Christians, and you ask the questions. You guys might remember them. Hey, who spoke and shared the gospel? What was preached? You know, what was in that gospel message? What was the audience's response, and what is our response, right? For a lot of us, it's convicting to go, wow, that's the way it's done in the Bible. That's the way we ought to do it today. Well, don't just stop at your conversion with those questions. Use those questions for really any Bible study, for any matter of the Bible, for how justice is done, for how good news is spread, for how Jesus was missional. So when it comes to, say, Matthew 28 and Jesus' mission, just sit at Jesus' feet and say, what did Jesus ask us to do? Well, how do we organize as a church, and what do we do instead? We got to see that gap and meet Jesus there. John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's get into the Word. It says, the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a verse that's been talked about a lot in this church, grace and truth, right? This is also where you get the word incarnation. When you see there at the start of the verse, the Word became flesh. Just to talk about the literal meaning of the word for a moment. This verse is saying that the eternal God stepped out of time and space. The word picture that's given here in the original language is He pitched His tent right there in Jerusalem. You might have seen the tents right out here. They're being pretty incarnational, staying right there on campus. I think they might go back to their dorm room too. I don't know. I'm still figuring it out. That's the start of God's mission to us. It's got to be our start, too. Think about that. For God to radically identify Himself with humans and everything it means to be human. To radically identify with people. It's pretty critical. You know, when I became a disciple, a lot of the form of evangelism we did was kind of cold contact campus evangelism. And that's not bad. In fact, that's great. And first person who reached out to me did that. So I owe my salvation to that. It's a great thing to keep doing. But we're also living in a world where, according to statistics, about 70% of people aren't really interested in a church invite or coming into a church on a Sunday morning. So you will have to go and be with them. You will have to go and be with them. They'll have to experience the good news through your life before they come here and hear it. Incarnational mission, the incarnational part is your posture and the way you're showing them Jesus. It's important not to separate the two. Because it'll determine if people want to hear this message on a Sunday morning, right? All right, John 1:14, the Word became flesh. What encourages me is if you partner with God, it's a lot easier to avoid the burnout. Jesus himself partners with God. He doesn't try to do this alone. Time and again, he says, I do only what I see the Father doing. Mm-hmm. He follows the prior work of God that's already been done in the human heart, in the culture, and in that society. And he went around looking for it and said, yeah, you're close to the kingdom of God. Wow, you have an incredible faith. He saw where God was already working on people. We got to do the same. He says in John 5:17, my Father is still working, and I also am working. He sees where the Father is working. In that effect, God sends Jesus. Jesus sends us by his Holy Spirit. We got to remember that we're sent by him and see where he's already working. So Jesus is always going about everywhere saying, I'm just going about the Father's business, looking to please him because I'm devoted to him. Same for us. If we're going to be incarnational, the root of that word means to put on flesh. You kind of hear it like carn, like carne, like meat, right? I'm not good at Spanish. You kind of hear it. Thank you, Alejandro. Maybe you'll remember it that way. Fast forward to John chapter 20, verse 21. Here's our next verse. If you go from Jesus incarnating himself, entering our world, being sent by the Father, here is him sending us. John 20, 21 says, as the Father sent me, the way God sent me, I am sending you. That's why you got to pay attention to the way Jesus does things. The way God sent the Son into the world, at its core, means that he is sending us in a missional way to be missionary people. It means we got to model our sentness off of the founder of the church, Jesus himself. When we go and find people, we got to think about the founder. Just as the Father sent Jesus, means us too are a sent people. Now, this is another great word to break down, because that word right there for sent comes from the Greek apostello. That's later turned into Latin missio, where we get our modern day word mission. You don't need to know or remember all of that. But if you ever flip through your Bible and go, the word mission doesn't even appear in the Bible, this is where it appears in the Bible, in John chapter 20, verse 21. You can't divorce it from this, that as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends us, that we're a sent people. It means we got to follow in the way and pattern of Jesus. That means it's an incarnational approach, right? How did the Father send Jesus? Oh, incarnated, entering people's world and sending them. By going and being with people. Not by saying, man, I'm going to wait around for these people to just repent and get it together and then they can come to me and hear my message sometime. He went to them, sending rather than attractional. When we do that, church can look a lot more like the people around us rather than getting people just to look like the people in this room. It can be a lot more authentic to the community right here in Eugene. I'll get into some practical examples of that in a minute. But it makes the gospel contextualized. So that when people see and hear the gospel, they say, wow, that's doable for me. So we got to get that figured out. Yeah. If we're going to reach the 70% of people who are out there and aren't interested in coming into a spiritual space on a Sunday morning. Still fine to do that, but that number is getting smaller and smaller of those who are interested in it. It means allowing Jesus to lead you into your workplace, lead you into third places, we might call them, lead them into homes, lead them into various lives around you, to be sent to those places, to hear from Jesus and ask, man, to whom is he calling me? Because I know I'm already sent. I just got to discern, learn and discern to who, as Alejandro prayed for as we get in the word this morning. Yep, I'm skipping ahead. I got a lot of stuff right here. Get ahead of myself, and then I catch up on the notes. All right. Here's what I want to skip to. Beyond all the theology, Isaiah 61, verse 3. Let's get to some examples. If we want to engage in ways that near God's ways, if we want to be incarnational rather than attractional, truth is, no matter what way we talk about the mission or evangelism, it can be uncomfortable for us. If I start talking about reaching the neighbor or reaching a campus student or reaching your family, there's discomforts everywhere. It's actually almost a difficult thing to talk about. So I really want to encourage us this morning with this. Isaiah 61:3, the Bible says, "To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness." And I just want to take a principle from this verse. It's the idea of ashes to beauty. That the ashes is where God can cultivate beautiful things. Oftentimes, I get uncomfortable or I disqualify myself from the mission. Like earlier this year, we were going through the NICU, tough time, but it just knocked me out of the rhythm of, you know, loving people and being sent to people. And I had to be super intentional at getting back out there. And then it was difficult. I tell myself, and maybe you can relate if you've ever had a newborn, but it's like, I'm sorry, my child is crying. You know, and we can be very apologetic. And I was on, man, so many conversations and Zoom calls with toddlers crawling around me and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Oh, man, I can't do this, right? We all get to these places where we tell ourselves that. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, I have a circus of a family with all these toddlers right now. I can't do it. God can't use me, which is really just not believing in God's power and what he can do, right? You know, this week I was out there. Always needed to get back into the rhythm. So to make sure I'm joining God in his mission, I always think it's refreshing to prayer walk and align my heart with his. God, where is your kingdom not? How are you trying to bring it there? We did that in a prayer workshop a couple of months ago, and when you spend 3 or 4 hours just getting devoted to God and fired up in him, it's a lot easier for a lot of us to be missional, right? So here's where I had to get my heart back into it and get out of my head, right? I'm praying, God, just put somebody in my path that I can share your love with. Just, you know, make it easy for me, Lord. Put somebody there. This guy was walking up, and he's wearing a cross necklace, and I let him pass by me. I was like, yeah, just make it obvious, Lord, you know? Someone. Been there? And another guy was coming up with a cross necklace, and I let him pass by, too. I was like, yeah, I don't know if he would have been interested, though, God. I really don't know. I really don't know. It's how you glorify God, right? I owe an apology to those first two guys. So the third guy who's wearing a cross necklace God said, "Come on, said, man, I got to talk to you." And of course, that was great. And here's the thing. If Jesus became the servant, looked for ways to bless people, to meet their needs, we got to do that too. So I just, this guy was actually sitting on the sidewalk. He was like shaking his head. He's going through something. Just, man, how's it happening? We talked for a while, just class stress and stuff. Man, can I pray for you? We prayed together. Great. Awesome. And I didn't find any other need besides offering prayer. But that does so much more to meet people where they're at, yeah, to relate to them, to meet a need, to bless them, than just, well, I hope you can find church on a Sunday morning. Good luck. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then this other guy came up to me. Here's where God works. This guy was wearing a T-shirt that said Cosplay Jesus. It was his band, so that was cool to learn about. I said, oh, yeah, I'm talking about that this Sunday.
That's awesome.
So, you know, as praying, I share that, and immediately that almost becomes the thing of, okay, great, Joey, you can get on campus and share with students, but those students are like 20 years older than me. That's not something I can do, right? We got to figure out ways to make sense of that in our life. Sharing over at Alton Baker Park, praying with another lady. She lives in Alton Baker Park, under the bridge. You know, I got to talk to her about the Everyone Village over here that we're looking at volunteering with and services that can meet her where she's at. And I didn't get too far in talking to her about Jesus in the conversation, but again, I was able to pray for her. I share that because right there is the rub between incarnational and attractional, because it would have been a very quick conversation if I just said, yeah, go to church over at the U of O. You should find some way to get there some Sunday. You know, good luck.
Yeah.
Good point. It's about a mile that way. I know you live here in Alton Baker, but yeah. But then it was great. She, then she's sitting at the table with other people who live in Alton Baker or under the bridge right there. And I'm able to go up and say, hey, you know, how's it going, Christy? Oh, yeah, I know Christy. She lives here. What's your name? And get to meet you, too. Now, if I were to really be Jesus there, I'd have to go back and be very consistent in that place or consistent in any of these places to have a posture, getting to know people. But it's just a step closer to what Jesus would have done in being incarnational. You may have thought that has very little to do with this ashes to beauty concept. Here's where I'm going with that. A lot of people in this room may be telling themselves, I'm not living the kind of life. I'm not really representing Jesus. Well, you should start representing Jesus. But Jesus also uses this idea of ashes to beauty. When we're a wreck, when we're not doing so hot, Jesus actually uses those situations.
Yeah.
To be a part of his bigger story, to show his story to others. Over in Bend, we have Roy and Janet. Janet's in a wheelchair. They could easily tell themselves, we can't do this, God can't use us. They open their home all the time. They're probably the most hospitable couple in the church. Janet brings more women to Women's Day, every single Women's Day. She's always sharing about Jesus. Up in Corvallis, leading house church, you have Garth and Carrie Jensen. They have a daughter with special needs. They could easily tell themselves, how could God ever use us? How could we ever tell somebody about Jesus when we have distractions and difficulties like that? But it's the ashes to beauty idea. Mm-hmm. I remember Rocky was in the hospital a couple of years ago and was able to share with one of the nurses, right? And Kayla ends up getting baptized.
Mm-hmm.
It's often when we're in those spots that God can use us the most. When we're struggling, we can feel like, man, I can't have people over for dinner. I can't have them around my family. And that's exactly what they need to see.
Amen.
That's exactly who God needs to use. That's exactly where he cultivates his story, in that soil, in our weaknesses. I know we can always feel the pressure to have our houses totally in order, right? As if somebody doesn't even live there when we have people over. I'm just saying, you need to welcome people into the mess if we're going to be hospitable. It's letting life happen. Kids climbing all over and everything else. I remember when I was first coming out, actually, one of the first testimonies I heard in the church was Kelsey Reitman getting restored. And she didn't say, guys, I've been perfect. You know, I'm beautiful. This is great. Life is all good. No, we share about how Jesus meets us in our weaknesses and in our struggle. And so I could hear a testimony like that and go, man, maybe God could work in my life too. Somebody like me. We need to hear more testimonies like that.
Amen.
Amen. So if you're telling yourself when it comes to the mission, I don't feel comfortable, or man, I don't have any time, or perhaps even, you know, I just don't care enough, There's a form of the mission that doesn't require you to care, have time, or be comfortable. No, I'm just kidding. There's not. It's always going to require those three things. But here's the answer to those three difficulties. It's love. 1 John 4:18 through 19. Amen. It's love that casts out fear. It's love that makes time. And it's love that cares for people, goes first to meet them. 1 John 4:18 through 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. We want to respond to that love, right? So often I forget that when I try to be missional. Yeah. I've hit the hard times in my walk where there wasn't much excitement. I've hit the times in my walk where I wasn't very thrilled in it, right? I've hit it before where I was just trying to do it out of a sense of obligation. I've shared this with Hailey, maybe a few others before. Right out here, it's called the moon tree because they took the seeds up to the moon, took them back, and planted them right here and all over the world. But there's one tree out here. Anyways, one day I was trying to share about Jesus with a bunch of people. And, you know, they just kind of were just a widget in my life. I didn't really care about them. It's just a yes or no. Do you want to come to church? All right, move on. That really wears on your soul. That's not good for you. It is good if it drives you towards Jesus, though. Amen. Very good if it drives you towards Jesus like it did for me. So I just had to collapse down and go, man, I'm really burnt out on this. I got to get back to Jesus. So I just had to pray. I had to get out of my head, get into my heart, and just say, Jesus, sweep me off my feet again. I want to do this because I have that feeling towards you. I want to abide in your love. I want to be head over heels. I want to feel like I'm levitating. Not that every single thing needs to be an overly emotional experience, but, man, I want to be deliriously happy in my relationship with him and have other people see that. Sometimes it takes me a lot of praying to get there, to where I can share that with people. But if I'm not there with Jesus, I'm not going to be there in loving the lost. And that's where I want to be. So man, if you're trying to make this Christian journey, this walk of discipleship, without falling deeply in love with Jesus, then you're not living the life of discipleship at all. You have to love, you have to try. If you haven't tried, you haven't lived the life to the full that Jesus is talking about. I've seen this in a lot of you. Seeing you in love with Jesus and loving others for Jesus. That's what we always want to call each other back to. Amen, guys?
Yes.
This is where I wrote conclusion in my notes, but I'm not sure how long the conclusion is. So we are coming in for a close. Trey did say I could do communion today, which means I can do a 45-minute sermon.
That works.
If we're going to call ourselves Jesus followers, if we're going to call ourselves disciples, if we're going to call ourselves a church, we do need to be missional in the way Jesus was missional at the end of the day. I've run the error before in my mission of making a disciple, or what I called a disciple, who wasn't really devoted to Jesus. They weren't really devoted to being his disciple, making disciples. So then what I found was I had to like drag them to things or beg and plead, like, hey, please could you read your Bible? Please, you know, please could you come to midweek? Please could you just, I'll buy you lunch. Please come, you know, be missional with me. A devoted follower of Jesus doesn't need to be begged to do those things, because a devoted follower of Jesus follows Jesus into those things. Devoted follower of Jesus follows Jesus to gather with his people. Devoted follower of Jesus follows Jesus into the waters of baptism. Devoted follower of Jesus follows Jesus into his mission, follows Jesus into loving people, follows Jesus into being in people's world and being sent by him. We need to remind each other of that. to have everything predicated on who he is, how he's first loved us, modeling ourselves after him in our mission. So who do you say the Son of Man is? How are you imitating him and following him into his mission? We need reminded of that. We need challenged into that. How are you following Jesus more deeply into his mission? Well, let's just remember who he is for a minute. Go to our Father God in a word of prayer for communion. Father God, we've talked about the mission a lot today, and we just want to focus it in on you. It is your mission, God. It's you coming to earth, being on the cross, giving us your blood and body represented through this juice and bread. That's what we want to remember, God, that you first loved us. Help us to remember our first love so we abide in you this week, so we respond to you this week. God, that's what we want to welcome people into. Not just a church invite, but inviting people into a life to the full, following you and experiencing that love, God. Experiencing that transformation that we've experienced. Pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.